So I hope everyone had a wonderful Pesach, a wonderful Seder. I hope a wonderful Yontif and hopefully a little vacation. But it's interesting. So first of all, I have a statement to make about our Berachos HaShachar. I cannot find the sefer that I was using. It's actually very frustrating. So I hope to get another sefer in the next week or two to finish up that topic. But there's plenty to speak about these days, especially since we're in Pesach and between Pesach and Shavuot, just a lot of what to talk about. But the starting point is that the Ramban famously says that there's Pesach and the Shavuos, and the whole Shavuos Omer is a Chol HaMoed. It's a Chol HaMoed of in between Pesach and Shavuos. So we're in the midst of one long, very big Yontif. Baruch Hashem, there's no Chi of Suda every day. 50 days of meals are not going to be good for anyone's waistline, and probably the amount of food that we make and cook is probably not, would be a lot of food. So, but there's it's a very interesting piece that we see very strongly that we have leaving Mitzrayim, we have the Shavuos Omer, and we have a whole progress to Shavuos are given the Torah. And they're all very much deeply connected. So what I want to focus on tonight is the concept of right at the beginning, right at what we call Pesach night. It's very interesting, the matzah, right? They ate a whole meal. They seem to have kind of been ready. I saw a cute line. The Jews going out of Mitzrayim seems to be the same as a Chol HaMoed trip, right? They planned it. They talked about it for many days and everything. And then last minute, they threw in a bunch of food. One second. I thought there was a problem. Last minute, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we need to bring food. And they grab matzahs
Where was it?
Okay. And, so what is it? What is the reason? Why is it so? Why is it that we have matzah? It wasn't like they didn't know they were going out. There was warning. They did a whole Korban Pesach. Why is it that they had to have matzah bake? They had to leave so quickly that the baking had to happen on the road, and it happened so fast that it didn't rise, and that's why we have matzah. You know, we know the answers about the fact that if they would have stayed a little bit longer, but I think there's a very profound, deep understanding of what freedom is, and the opportunity to be free. And, but we're going to hold off for a second because we're going to develop it a little bit more, and then we'll get back to that question. The other interesting thing is that I was having a conversation with someone who, is a little bit more of the secular crowd, and we're talking about the Seders. And, it came up that, he was talking about the different kosas, and he talked about the kosa of Elio and the kosa of Miriam. And Miriam's coast, and that they, and I was like, well read enough to know what that's about. But there's a big movement to have a Miriam's coast. And the reason is because to show that the women were also involved in the Exodus. And for some reason, maybe I didn't have my coffee yet. Maybe I just was, a little bit more grumpy than usual. Of course, I was polite and civil. But it hit me raw. And he happened to be a person I could talk to quite honestly and quite bluntly. And I said, I just want to tell you that I think that there's a terrible, terrible misconception of freedom when it comes to these things. I said, the reality is like this. I said, there is no heroes in the Pesach Seder. There's no Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no Aaron, there's no, right? We learn most of the stuff from Sukkim, we read are coming from Yeshua even, right? Of course we mention them, but there's no focus on a single hero. On the contrary, it's actually very interesting if you ever think about the Gada. There's really not a lot of story being told. There's not a lot of depth and not deep understanding of freedom and everything. And I said, you know, a chacham were quite smart about that. Because one of the things that makes a Jewish person absolutely free is the freedom to discuss any topic and have Torah-based knowledge and relevance to that topic. Freedom is not when we're not, there's an enslavement to ideology that is actually more of slavery than what some people think is Judaism. Right? There's a famous question. Why do we celebrate going out of Egypt to be free when we're slaves to God? Right? And the answer is, and we know this, it says, right, is quite obvious. Because there's a freedom in serving a higher order that allows us to develop ourselves in ways that are, would not be possible. And the truth is that if we chase after what's the hottest trend and the hottest fashion, or what's the ideology of that day, so are we really free thinkers? Are we really people who truly speak for themselves and understand the concepts that what makes us free? Right? So I said, it would be fine with me if there's someone at my Seder who raises the question, well, what's the woman's role in freedom? What was the woman's role in that? I would have no problem spending quality time at night on Pesach night talking about that. But when you tell me that a whole group of people, the modern Seder, every single person came to the exact same conclusion, which is that we need a close of Miriam. We need to acknowledge Miriam's greatness. That doesn't sound like freedom. Right? That sounds like, you know, Marxism. That sounds like any ism. The isms of the world, when you follow this an ism of the world, are you truly free? When we live our life, I remember someone being asked the question, well, how could the Jews be so true? How could they believe that they're to have the true religion, right? There's a billion Christians that believe one way, and there's a billion Muslims that believe the other way. And the guy answered beautifully. He's like, well, there's a billion, either way, there's a billion people wrong. So there could be 2 billion people wrong, right? Our ability to not just go with the flow is specifically, dafko, the freedom that we're looking to get. I said, the Pesach Seder is full of feminist ideas. We know that the Sheni De'Elishal, the Chassam Sofer family says, it says a lesson of At, right? That you, At is feminine. Why is it At? Because it says that the Keres Abayis, the one in charge of the house, is the woman. And it's her job to make sure that the child is educated. The role of raising the next generation, the whole role all of Agat L'Pincha, first and foremost, falls upon the woman's shoulder. And so first and foremost, also, the whole Shira, the word Shira, which we do Halal and Shira, is a lashon of the Keva. Because the concept of relishing and being, and we know Miriam brought instruments, and Miriam was did the shira, right? So I don't need a set in place thing to describe how enlightened we are and how free we are. And when you I was explaining to this person, I said that the real freedom in the Agada, the real Vigata Bicha, the real teaching you teach of your children, is that we are open to conversations. That we're open to a reality that makes us free, not to just be slept along with every other person, whatever is new in that world. It's a shame there's a tremendous beauty that happened in the last 25 years, but it's also a shame. The yeshivas world has become very, strong. Baruch Hashem, it's a big bracha, right? The more religious world has become stronger. And there's a tremendous positive of that. Of course, there's more Torah study, there's more chesed, there's more kindness, more everything. But one of the tricky things, which I believe Hashem creates a Baal Tshuva movement and a Geirus movement because of this, is that sometimes Everyone is doing what they're doing because they're doing it. Because everyone else is doing it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's amazing on the first Haftarah, on the morning of Pesach Seder. He says, I don't want your Korban Pesach if it's just a Korban Pesach. I want your Korban Pesach. I want your expression of the Korban Pesach. I want your ideas and concepts that connect you to God. So when we take the opportunity to engage our children on Pesach night, what we're expressing is not just a freedom of if you're going to be free in terms of slavery because you went out of Mitzrayim and now, you know, you're a slave and now you're free. What we're reflecting on, what we're thinking is being willing to break free from everything that's around you and says, I forge my own path. I choose my own path. I asked this person, I told this person, I said, who do you think is more enlightened? Who do you think is more free in a hot summer day? The person dresses not modestly because that's what everyone else does. Or the person who chooses to dress in a way that represents her self-worth. Who's expressing more freedom there? Who's expressing more freedom, right? When they go and they go to the world, go out in the working world, right? And people around them know that around this person, you can't curse. You can't say not nice words, right? Versus everyone else who this goes along with it, even when they're uncomfortable with it, even when it's uncomfortable, right? What is the freedom that we truly have as Jews? And the real deep understanding is the freedom to choose. It's the freedom to understand that our words matter, our action matters, how we dress matter. The freedom that we have presented to us is a freedom that the God gives us the ability to sit there and just discuss true values, concepts that mean real things. What does it mean to be a Eved Hashem? What does it mean to have a conversation about even the things that we are challenged by, feminism, if you want, about what does it mean to be a working person in the world out there? What does it mean to be a modern, firm person in a world of fashion, in a world of, in a world of technology, right? What does it mean to embrace, right, the world out there and be part of the world out there at the same time to soar above it because we choose to be free.
If you wake up early,
what I believe is,
or if you give early, she'll go tomorrow morning. She'll be here when you get home.
You don't meet everyone. Okay, sorry, that's my bad. I should have muted everyone in the beginning. Yeah. So, what does that mean? What is the freedom? What is that freedom? So, I think what happens in Pesach night is that Hashem tells us something very important about choices in life and freedom. He says, if you want to lay out a perfect planned action to freedom, you'll never get there. Freedom is not structuring and surrounding yourself and putting yourself in a place where everything's in control and everything I have is like, it's because I want to be this way and it's neat and it's clean and everything. Freedom happens when things get chaotic, when chaos happens. There's a more ability to move in the dark than in the light. Right? There's a concept about this and it's why the tzafon on the northern wind is, there's evil there. Because with this movement, with this chaos, right? Where there's not how everything it planned happen is where you have the ability to break free from all your preconceived notions. Let me try to explain this point, but it's a very important point, right? If I see my life a certain way, right? I want to marry. This is how the person I want to marry. This is where I want to be and everything. Well, it's wonderful until what happens? You actually marry the person that you thought you wanted to marry, and she's not exactly the thing you laid out. And the dreams and aspirations that you had don't know, didn't exactly work out the way you wanted. So now you have something, an opportunity. As the moment where you have this thing that's facing you, it's where all the best laid out plans, and now I have the chaos in front of me. And I'm about to decide between the two, right? It slaps me in the face. My freedom is at that moment is my reaction to that. My freedom is to say that the moment God says it's time to go out to Egypt. Yes, we've been planning it, this and everything. But now God, you're like, now you want me to do this? Now is when you want to exercise your freedom? Yeah, now. Wait, but my matzah's not ready. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's when it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because Hashem is sending you an important message that clean planned actions only get you up to the place that you put on your self. Because you limit yourself by your own structure. You develop it and say, if I do this, A, B, and C, I'll get D. But when you define A and define B and define C, and especially define it based on other people's aspirations and other people's thought processes and other people's expectations and what people are going to think about you, so you're really not free at that moment. You've been doing everything you wanted to do because of everyone else is telling you to do it. That's a slave. You're enslaved to your own concepts and ideas, what you should look like. Old argument between me and my wife. And she, of course, won. But I got a little bit of a shift in the thought process. We, as you know, love having guests. We love a lot of guests. Well, if you have a lot of guests on a constant basis, and you also want to be this hostess that serves a lot of food, right? It's not easy. And I said, and we had this argument. And you could probably just figure out very clearly which side people are on, right? And I'm saying, what I got to, which my side was like, if we want to have consistently guests, right, we can't be serving these crazy amount of meals. Not even from a financial standpoint, which is a lot, but more from the aspect that I didn't want to burn out my wife, right, who puts out this whole spread. So I said, we also have to be willing to have guests, and they have to be comfortable with the fact that, you know, it's not going to be as glorious as every meal there. So there was a pshara there a little bit. There was way more to my wife's side, of course, if you're in their house, than my side of the conversation. But there's people, and we have people that come over, and there's even some of them are, you know, who are used to bigger and better things, and we serve them what we serve them, and it's great, it's wonderful. It's a freedom to make a decision. We sat with a person. Sometimes you always have this conversation about people, right? You have to make choices in life, and the freedom to choose sometimes the thing that doesn't make sense out in the world, but makes sense for you is exercise freedom. So now matzah happens at any moment. Hashem was saying is, it's true. It's true that I'm going to take you out, but you want to know when you're really free? It's when that burst of chaos happens. And how you're going to respond to it, how you can react to it, right? People, you know, this is one of the things one of my jobs I have in the Kollel, right? There's people that have big dreams and aspirations. They've been building it up for years and working harder and everything. And in their mind, they're going to be a 11th grade rabbi. That's what they want to be. And a 10th grade rabbi job opens up. That's not 11th grade. It's a big difference and everything, right? But it's right there. It's in front of you. It's being offered to you and everything. And sometimes the freedom is to say, you know what? Hashem is putting this in front of me, right? It's not what I expected, right? It's not what I expected. It's not what I laid my best laid out plans were, but maybe, Efsher. And lo and behold, you find that you enjoy 10th grade and Hashem knows, believe it or not, knows what he's doing for you when he presents that to you. So Hashem is telling us a big lesson in Mitzrayim. At the moment of Mitzrayim, he's like, guys, Klal Yisrael, I know you've been prepared. I know you're ready. Now go. Now move. That's your moment of experience, moment of freedom. But we can't get stuck in. And this is the part that we all are guilty of. I'm sorry. I don't mean it in a bad way, but I think we're all guilty in this aspect. And we get comfortableness and it's a cycle and we get used to our roles and we get used to what the world's out there. And it's a terrible thing. I remember one of my rebbeim talking about, you know, it's on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, you can look around the room and you could get yourself into such big trouble because you could look at the one person and say, oh, I'm compared to that guy, I'm fine. Yeah. Compared to that person, I'm good. And you could look at the other, or you could look the other way and be like, there's no way I'm ever going to be as good as this guy. So I'm doomed. And he said, that's not freedom. That's not you. You are you. You are what's in front of you. And Hashem's going to look at you and say, I didn't need you to be, I didn't think, first of all, you might not have been better than that guy. But second of all, I didn't need you to, that it's no big deal that you're better than that guy. Your background is this and that, his background is that. And I never expected you to be as great. You don't have the same capacity as the other person. I never expected you. I wanted you to be you. And I gave you your kippur on that day to find you. Well, by the way, Rosh Hashanah is the, Pesach night is the tshuva of Ava. Pesach night where God says, I choose you for who you are. And that's what the freedom is. The freedom, there's no laid out plan of how I'm going to give over the Pesach Seder to different kids. On a side note, I told this person, I said, you know, I'm sitting here, thank God, with seven girls. We have the Pesach Seder. You don't think feminists came up? Feminism came up? We didn't need to raise a coast to Miriam to express the beauty of the Jewish woman. It's sitting around the table. That's not the freedom is that it's not being tied in. This person actually was, he admitted, he agreed to me on this point. I said, true freedom is being free to look at the Torah instead of shoehorning your agenda into it. Instead of looking at the Agada and ensuring your agenda, look at the Agada and see what does the Agada say about maybe my thought process and even my agenda. There's nothing wrong with having ideas and concepts that you struggle with. On the contrary, that's the question and answer to the whole Seder. But the only silly question is a question not asked. There's nothing wrong with challenges. There's nothing wrong with asking. But the issue that we have, the world out there, you know, someone one time asked the Dubnei Maggid, he said, how do you always have the perfect muscle, the perfect analogy for what's going on there? So he said, I'll give you an analogy, which is a very appropriate thing to do, right? He said, if you're an archer, you have to shoot a bow and arrow and you have to hit the bullseye, right? So if you're trying to shoot the arrow and trying to hit the bullseye, it's very hard. But if you first shoot the arrow and then you paint the bullseye, it's very easy. So he said, that's what I do with analogies, right? I first shoot the arrow and then I paint the bullseye. The world out there, the enslaved world out there first shoots the arrow and then paints the bullseye. They first decide what their agenda they want to bring to the discussion, to the Torah discussion. And then they're going to try to fit it in to every partial and every line and everything. And it's getting worse and worse. And it's the ultimate checker. It's the ultimate falsehood. And it's they do it under the guise of enlightenment. And they look at us with disgust that we are so backwards and we're so behind and we're so enslaved. I said a simple thing. If you have a good idea, you think feminism is important, right? Fine, no problem. But how is it possible that everyone does the same thing? Like everyone, maybe it should have been a different person. Why did it have to be Miriam? Maybe it should be Devorah. Maybe it should be your wife. Maybe it should be like what? Why are you enslaving yourself to one concept, one idea? So our freedom. How do we accomplish this freedom? Because we do this. Let's talk about ourselves. We don't. It's easier to talk about the sector, but you know, that's our stuff. Right. How much of what we do in our Yiddishkeit is driven by a thought process? This is where I believe Baruch Hashem Baal Tshuva have such a leg up on the firm from birth person, right? Because if they do Shabbos, right, it was a choice. They had to work it out. They had to go back and forth. How much of what we do is driven by what we choose to do? I don't mean mitzvahs. I don't mean like we chose to keep Shabbos, not keep Shabbos, but how we approach Shabbos, how we approach Yontif, how we act is done because this is who we are? Or is it because this is what the world does, so we do it also? There's so much, right? If, you know, our tefillos, right, are influenced by other people, or is it our own tefillos? If we start talking about concept like, let's speak to God, let's talk to Hashem, do we look around the room and say, are people gonna look like it's weird? Or we're like, no, this is fine, this is great. Now, thank God, Hamish were blessed with like a not really caring about what people think. So we do things even beyond, you know, what other people are going to respond, like are going to think about us. But there's a tremendous upside in freedom. It's a tremendous upside of not being driven by anyone besides yourself in what the Voda Mitzvah is, what you believe is true to be true about modesty. Now, I'm not talking about that go proselytize and tell everyone else what you believe in. But it doesn't mean that if you may, in your choice, you make decision. When do we get to do this? When is the opportunity to try to start working on breaking free? Like God gives us the flash, right, at the beginning of Pesach. What is at the point of where we get to try to figure out where we should put up, where lies, and where we should put our freedom in? I think it's simply and obviously Sfiras HaOmer. But we know the spheres of Omer, each one of them has different, right? Each of us sphere is connected. So it's like almost like a DNA, right? So you have Malchus, you have Chesed Shebe Chesed, you have Chesed Shebe Gvurah, you have Chesed Tferes, Chesed Netzach, and you go through each one. Sorry, it goes to Malchus and it goes down. But right? So each day is assigned to Chesed the first week, and he sends that to Gvurah, and then to Tferes, and each week has their interactions. So, if you study this a little bit, you realize that Chesed Shebe Chesed, right? Chesed Shebe Chesed, right? Is a, let's call it like, if you put on like a DNA gram, Chesed Shebe Chesed is a pretty powerful midah. It's your kind and kindness, right? Then there's a Chesed Gvurah. This Chesed Gvurah means that you're kind, but you have a little discipline. And there's a Chesed Teferis, which means you're kind, but there's a blend to it. And as you go through this, so, we have 49 days to pick, I believe, pick a blend, like you're picking out paint colors, but a blend that works for us, that allows us to be free. Some of us are din gvura shebe gvura, din of din. Some of us are tferes of malchus. Some of us are sold of malchus. Some of us are chesed shebe chesed. That's all we do. It's okay. That's fine. But here's the point. There are 49 different mixtures, which means that exercising true freedom as a from Torah Jew still means there's at least 49 different options of a blend of how we approach Yiddishkeit. So not only is it an exercise of freedom, it's a prerequisite to getting the Torah, because there's no way in the world that you, if you're a Chesed Shebe Chesed person, right, could be free and read and learn the same Torah as the Gvur Shebe Gvur, the Din Shebe Din, the guy who's all strict justice. It doesn't make any sense. How do you get together is by covet, by honoring each other. That's why, by the way, that Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim they had to die. Because if you don't respect each other, then there's no way of blending the different types of people. But we know that each one of us are different. Each one of us has different personalities. Each one has a different approach. So if we appreciate that approach, if we appreciate that Hashem has given us the absolute freedom in our Torah, yes, there's 630 mitzvahs. Yes, you have to be modest. Yes, there's all these restrictions. That's true. But there's so much to work on there. There's so many avenues of how you could express your freedom. It's so many avenues, and the true expression of your true freedom, right? The ultimate artist is the way, because he expresses who he is. The ultimate free person is an expression of the person that this is what I am. This is my approach to God. This is my approach to Torah. So I got 49 days to play around with the samples. I got 49 days to figure out the mixture, to find out the blend that works for me. and I got to, and I kept counting it and everything. That's the exercise of freedom. That's the true freedom. And then we get, God gives us, whoa, you know who you are. You know what approach you want. Great. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you Torah. I'm going to give you understanding to why you do it. I'm going to give you comprehension of why it makes sense to be dressing modestly on a beach in 100-degree weather. Right? I'm going to give you the understanding of what a Shabbos is. I'm going to give you understanding of what a relationship is. I'm going to give you the understanding of what the mitzvah of chesed is and the mitzvah of bikur cholim is. I'm going to give you the beauty of mikvah. I'm going to give you the beauty of shatness. I'm going to give you, and my life on a constant basis is going to be free of what everyone else is dictating to be besides one person, Hashem. Hashem is who created you. Hashem was giving you that perfect blend for you and no one else. Hashem was giving you the Torah knowledge of it. That's when you could exercise freedom. And so, even if we all come up with an idea and concept that maybe we're struggling with, it still does not make sense that even if it's six people, right? The famous thing, two Jews, three opinions. But it doesn't make sense that if we all have the same thought processes and we all have the same response to something, what we're doing is we're not exercising freedom. And you see that. You see that with Korach. You see that with any machlokas. You see with like everyone. It's all the everyone's saying the same thing, right? And true freedom is that. So this is to end off with something very powerful, which is that we know that there's a minhag that the kadmonim used to have a custom that when they picked up the maror by the Pesach Seder, they kissed the maror. They would kiss the maror. Well, maror is bitter. And Mora is also the gematria of mavis, of death, right? Which makes sense. Death is bitter and Mora is bitter. But the next gematria makes no sense. Mora is also the gematria of chesed shebechesed. Can you imagine that? Kindness of kindness. Mora should be the gematria of mavis we get. But Mora should be the miracle value of chesed shebechesed. Of kindness of a kindness, the ultimate kindness of kindness. How's that possible? Why does that make even sense? Well, the answer is that makes a ton of sense. Because as we know, in the order, it says Pesach, Matzah, Morah. One second, Morah came before Pesach and Matzah. Why is it out of order? Right? Well, the ultimate answer is because the freedom lies is in the chaos. In the, when we get uncomfortable, when Hashem makes us uncomfortable and we break out of everything that we knew, which many times is just us being stuck in our ways, and many times us being convinced and building a fence around us so that we can't break out of our own self, right? Hashem says, you know what? There's one thing that hopefully will wake you up when you think about death, right? As the Gemara says, better to go to a house of Shiva than to a house of wedding, right? Why? Because when death hits you in the face, when there's uncomfortableness, when there's chaos, therein lies that immediate ability to break free. The chivazon of the matzah, to be break free. When it's all neat and clean and it's the way we want it, Hashem says, well, you're a slave to your own ideas, your own concepts. If I rattle you a little bit, if I shake you up a little bit, if I tell you that there's more to it than this what's in front of you, and I kiss the mirror, because I engage it as being saying that something that's going to give me an opportunity for life. If I look at that, that is in essence the ultimate chesed. We know this. We know people who have hit rock bottom, and because they hit rock bottom, that's what made them cause them to turn around their life. So that rock bottom is the momentum and the motivation to get it back together. So the ultimate mora, yes, mora is bitter and sometimes harsh and life is harsh sometimes. And sometimes it's the harsh realities of life are very difficult to get through. But tell me anyone who's had any experience of this, that they haven't grown out of it. They haven't broke out of things that they themselves enslaved, right? whether, you know, things that they thought they never could accomplish, things that they never thought they could become, relationships they never thought they could have, right? Because of some of this uncomfortableness, and it's, I'm using the word lightly, sometimes it's bitter, right? But because of those things, they break out of it. They have the struggle. Now they have a better relationship. Now they have a better understanding of life. Now they are more motivated to do big things. They've accomplished things they never thought they'd be able to accomplish. Then we can understand that kissing the mother, kissing the mother. Then we understand that there's really chesed and chesed in that. When the mother engages us to break out of slavery, then we get the opportunity now to spend our Sfiras Omer of looking at the different blends and trying to connect and realizing who are we? What are we? What speaks to me? Not what everyone else says I have to do. Not what everyone else says to do, but what is my point of freedom? What is the thing that Hashem puts in front of me and I have to react? And I didn't want to react at the time and it wasn't easy, but I reacted and now I'm free. Not based on what everyone else told me. Everyone else said, you're crazy, you're nuts, you're this, that, and everything. But I said, no, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I want to be. And when I express that true freedom, that inner freedom, then you really get to a place of where the ultimate realization of Matan Torah, the ultimate place of Kabbalah Torah, the ultimate place of Mashiach, Beher B'minu Ameh. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, everyone.
Thank you.